But I think one of the things that we did was we overcame many obstacles and challenges by showing people that we are leaders in this healthcare space. We are scientists. We are leaders in showing people that vaccines are safe, won through trials, by us being role models ourselves. But more importantly is that it takes a team.
The COVID-19 pandemic has tested the global healthcare system. Public health experts around the world have had to meet the challenges of a once-in-a-century health crisis that continues to evolve. It required unprecedented capabilities to quickly change direction to mitigate the disease. The response to the pandemic is an extraordinary example of today's podcast topic, leadership in a crisis. One of the first and probably toughest decisions we had to make at Morehouse School of Medicine was reopening the school for in-person instruction when just about every other business had decided to shut down and many universities remained closed. What we knew early on, though, during the pandemic, was that we could not educate and train this next generation of healthcare professionals, public health leaders, through Zoom. Now, Zoom is a good tool, don't get me confused. We all have adapted and adopted Zoom and other similar technologies. But when it comes down to that personal touch, we know that one of the things that sets us apart from a lot of other institutions, the culturally competent way in which we educate and train our students, and the experience that they gain by engaging patients and engaging the community to improve their cultural responsiveness. So in real time, we had to come up with a strategy of how we could first be safe, be responsive and compliant to what was happening external to Morehouse School of Medicine, but also to be a part of the solution. And we thought that reopening was critical to us being a part of the solution. Now, as a medical school, we have to develop innovative approaches all the time to manage disease and to manage health crisis. But typically, we get to do that in a controlled environment. The COVID-19 pandemic was not in a controlled environment. And so one of the early things that we said was that we knew that we had to be able to test people, to give them the opportunity for testing so that we knew when someone was positive, when someone was negative, when they should stay home, or when they could come to work. And so what we're most proud of here at Morehouse School of Medicine and the Atlanta University Center is that over these 2 years, we've had a rigorous testing schedule, and it has been led by none other than Dr. Michelle Nichols, our associate professor in family medicine and medical director of Morehouse Healthcare. She was there with us on day one, standing up the strategy, the processes, the program, and the execution of our testing program that moved to be our vaccination program. And she was instrumental in ensuring, and continues to be, that it wasn't just limited to Morehouse School of Medicine and the AU Center, but we've touched so many aspects of the community. So I am so happy that you joined me today, Dr. Nichols. Thank you.
So thank you so much for having me today.
So let's start, first of all, with our early efforts. I remember March 17, 2020, when we were like, okay, we got to shut down because everybody is shutting down. But then I think that next day or so, we were on Zoom talking about how we were going to get our students, our faculty, our staff back on campus safely. Can you give us some background of what that felt like to you and what were the first couple of things that we had to do?
So we take the time back to look at what happened in March 2020. Everything shut down. We had our first cases here in Atlanta. What happened was the school shut down. We had sheltering in place for the city of Atlanta, for the state of Georgia. And so everything closed down. So at that point, even though we knew we were on Zoom and doing things, we knew that our students learn best when they are in person. And we knew that our institution functioned best in person. So we then came up with a strategy so that we could bring everyone back to campus. So in going through this strategy, we looked at the science, but this is new. This is new. So there wasn't a lot of science out there yet. So one of the things that surprisingly, we set up the first hotline because one of the first cases happened to be where one of our clinical sites was. And so we set up the first hotline so that people in the community, that parents could call and ask us questions. So we set up that hotline even before they set it up for the Georgia Department of Public Health so that we could answer questions. But when you go back, let's go back to the school. One of the things we said is that we looked at the science. And what we did know, we said, what do we need to do to bring people back? So we looked at the three W's. So the three W's that we looked at was that we knew that people needed to wear their masks. We knew that we need to do social distancing. And then we knew that we need to also start a screening process. So when we set up for washing your hands, we looked around the entire campus and we set up sanitizing stations throughout the campus. We put signs up to teach people, how do you properly wash your hands? The other thing we did was that we got tape and we marked off 6 feet distance so that we had all our chairs, everything was at least 6 feet.
Watching our distance.
Watching our distance. Mm-hmm. The next thing was that we just mandated that people wear their masks.
Now, so Dr. Nichols, this is about leaders leading in a crisis, and clearly I am the president and CEO. What was the backlash that we got from wearing the mask, if any?
Surprisingly, we didn't get a lot of backlash.
Exactly.
That was that people took that very well because they knew that we followed the science. They were listening to stuff on media. But let me say something that was key. You implemented something called the virtual town halls. And so we had a virtual town hall in the very beginning. And when you implemented that virtual town hall, people were comfortable. It was all about transparency. Mm-hmm. And you believe in transparency. And so we will talk about why we needed to do this, what was the science behind why we did it. And we will then say, this is how we can decrease the transmission and bring our campus back again and to be safe.
So Dr. Nichols, do you remember when we talked about the social contract?
Yes.
And when we said to our community, this is a social contract we're entering into. We don't have all the answers. And so it was really about transparency. So that on Monday, we would have the report outs. And then on Thursday, we would do nothing but answer questions. But those virtual town halls twice a week went on for at least the whole first year.
They went on very frequently. And they were probably from communications with everyone. They said that made them feel safe.
Right.
And that made them realize that we cared about them. And so we did that. And that was when people were still at home, because this is when people were sheltering in place. Mm-hmm. So behind the scenes, we were getting the campus ready to bring everyone back.
So let's talk about the testing strategy. How were we so fortunate to be able to have access to testing when others could not?
Well, you have a lot of connections.
Right.
So but we were able, because again, you and Morehouse School of Medicine is a trusted entity. Mm-hmm. And so with that, we were able to contract with a private entity and get test kits. Mm-hmm. And that was a game changer, because what we did was that we decided that we were going to test people regularly. And when I say regularly, we said that no one was going to come on campus until we had a baseline test. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that we did was we brought back every student, every employee, and tested them. Then we put people on a weekly testing strategy. Mm-hmm. And so we were due testing maybe 600 to 700 tests per week. And then what we did, another thing was we created a dashboard. And that dashboard, we would look at what's the positivity rate, what's going on, how many tests were done. And so people then knew that there was, everything was transparent. We put this on our internal site so that people could see. We discussed it at the town hall. You could show them the dashboard. And we knew everyone was negative. If you test someone, you have to follow up with them. Mm-hmm. So the next thing was contact tracing. So what we did was we had an internal contact tracing where we had people that went through the extra training and we did internal contact tracing. So if anyone was positive, we removed them from the campus and we then found out who was in your space, where were they located. Now we partnered also with the Department of Public Health. That's so right. We did that.
They were very helpful.
They were extremely helpful. So they gave us resources, but if for external contact tracing, because now we were at our community say, but we wanted to make sure that their family and their friends were safe. Mm-hmm. So we partnered with the Department of Public Health so that they could do their contact tracing. So that was the thing, was that we did rigorous, the three W's, then we did frequent testing, we did internal contact tracing, partnered with doing external contact tracing. We also were one of the first ones to start doing temperature checks.
That's right, that's right.
So one of the things is that we purchased infrared thermometers, and when people entered the campus, we would do temperature checks on them. We then went one farther, and you said, we need to develop some type of tool so that we can do a questionnaire. Mm-hmm. So the next phase was that we, before people even came to campus now, we had a questionnaire where you looked at the common symptoms that were associated that we knew at the time with COVID-19. And we'll do this. And then we put it on the app. So we made it, first it was paper, then we went and made it into an app. So it would be very convenient for people to do the symptom tracker, that's what we called it. Mm-hmm. We do the infrared temperature check, and then we were doing testing for the other.
So Dr. Nichols, what I'm hearing is, first of all, we relied on a lot of internal resources. So we created our own symptom tracker, utilizing Campus Shield, which was something we automatically used to alert everybody. We relied on our partnership that we have with our safety public officers because they became our temperature trackers, right? Sure. They would take the temperature of everyone. We also used a lot of our connections and partnerships.
Correct.
The ability to partner with Color, which was the outside firm who really was a genetics testing company for BRCA 1 and 2. But I knew the CEO and I knew they were going to turn their platform over to COVID testing because he's an innovative person and I knew he was going to do that. And then we also relied on other trusted resources like the Department of Public Health.
Correct.
But throughout all of this, we had to have the cooperation of our community. So that social contract and that trust made a big difference. Now, right. We were building all of this. So how do we extend it to the Atlanta University Center and others?
So one of the things is we partnered with the AU Center, which is the Atlanta University Consortium. And we hired what we called a COVID czar. So that was a person who was with the Georgia Department of Health previously. And she became our direct link to DPH. And we created a toolkit. So with this toolkit, we outlined how they, for the AU Center, which was Clark Atlanta, Morehouse College, and Spelman, how could they safely bring their students back as well. Mm-hmm. We also did the testing for them. We did the testing for their employees in the beginning, and we did the testing for their students. And we continue to do the testing. Mm-hmm. And so what we did was we then came up with a toolkit of how do they go with their process like we did? How did they bring their students back? And how do you come up with a testing strategy?
And we understood that some of their reasons for not bringing their students back as readily as ours was because they were undergraduate students.
Correct.
And they could do a lot more of their classes, but it gave us time to prepare for them.
Correct.
So now we got our students well informed. We had the partnership that started with Thermo Fisher. Correct. Which was great because Thermo Fisher was able to provide testing resources for us to do testing on all of the undergraduate students, with us serving as a means, Morehouse School of Medicine, for doing the test. What about the community? How did we help the community with testing? And then how did that transition? Now we're getting close to a vaccine.
So something we did was, it's all about partnerships. So one of the things is we actually partnered with UnitedHealth. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things is that through the community, we opened up our parking deck.
That's right.
And we started having people come into our parking deck to get testing, free testing. And this is when there were long lines and people were trying to scramble to find places to test. We brought testing to our campus. And one step farther, not only did we provide people with the testing necessary, but we also provided food, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. We had them so they get hand sanitizers, paper towels, because then that was a hot commodity, you get paper towels
and toilet paper.
And toilet tissue.
And toilet paper, yeah. So don't forget that.
So we provided a goodie bag, is what you could say. And we gave people from the community an opportunity to come to our parking deck. And we did that after hours.
That's right.
So what we did is we let them come in after hours and also on weekends. And so we also opened up those testing opportunities to the community as well in the very beginning.
So Dr. Nichols, when we got ready then, the community should know that we are doing testing now, and we were also a part of the vaccine trials. So now the vaccine gets approved. What happens then, Dr. Nichols?
So this is an interesting story, but the vaccines got approved, and in December of 2020, they started rolling out vaccines so that healthcare workers, and they said they were going to work for the elderly. So you, Dr. Montgomery Rice, said prior to Christmas that we're going to be given vaccines. And so we worked through it. Through the holiday, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, to get the vaccines, to get the application so that we could become a COVID-19 pandemic vaccine provider. Shortly after we were approved, very quickly. So shortly after we were approved, you said, let's bring vaccines to the community.
That's right.
And that was a game changer. So we're looking at December 2020. On January 6th, we invited civil rights icons to come and get vaccinated. So one of the things is because Morehouse School of Medicine, being one of four HBCUs, is a trusted entity within the community. Many people were already hesitant or afraid of vaccines because of what happened with the Tuskegee Institute and some other horrible experiments for people of color. So we said, what can we do? So you called some of your friends, and we partnered with the icons like Andy Young, mm-hmm. Ambassador Young, the late, great Hank Aaron, our former president and secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Louis Sullivan, and had him to come. Miss Clayton, who was very big in the broadcasting world. So we brought these people, and they said they will be happy because they were civil rights icons and trailblazers. And so they came to our campus and our newly built health center that we had just built across the street. And they came on January 6th and they got vaccinated. And people from all over, we had the media, heard about this. People that we had not talked to in a long time, or people who that we didn't even know, contacted us and said, I saw you all on TV. The community got really wanting to say, how do we do that? And so one of the things, the next step was to bring those vaccines to the community. And that's what we did, was that we got the trust, the icons, the trailblazers came in and said, we are willing to get these vaccines because these vaccines are safe. Mm-hmm. And they came, and then we opened up our parking deck.
Started our vaccination Saturdays. And those vaccination Saturdays were, I think, such a great opportunity for many people who had not ever been on Leech Street, right? They've gone down 20 for sure, but they've never gotten off at Lee Street. We had a whole bunch of people getting off at Lee Street, trying to get access to vaccines. And what I loved about what we did was we, again, provided additional resources for the community to understand that they still needed to get the mammograms, they still needed to get their annual checkups, et cetera. And we had our students who were at the top, sometimes giving vaccines, but really helping people to put the V-Safe on their app, on their phone, the V-Safe app on their phone, and then using that as an opportunity to build a bridge, right? Well, we say building a bridge between healthcare and health, because we were providing healthcare by giving you the vaccine, but we were really thinking about how to keep you healthy. And so we're just so proud of the fact that that was such a success. And so, Dr. Nukas, in closing, can you just tell us, what do you think has been the most important work that we've done in this space around COVID-19, around the COVID-19 pandemic?
So one of the most important things is, yes, so we taught the community of how you can bring back people to the campus and work safely. Number two, we also provided for communities of color, because we went out in the community. We were able to get grant funding. We went out in the community. We partnered to bring the vaccine and make it readily available. But I think one of the things that we did was we overcame many obstacles and challenges by showing people that we are leaders in this healthcare space. Mm-hmm. We are scientists. We are leaders in showing people that vaccines are safe, won through trials, by us being role models ourselves. But more importantly is that it takes a team. Mm-hmm. That is a team, that it takes the students, it takes who were our vaccinators and our public health educators. It takes the faculty, it takes scientists, it takes researchers, that we as a team, we work together, we trust one another, and that we are able to then do what many people thought was impossible, we made it possible.
That's right.
Because what we did was we showed people that you can bring people safely, that you can have a positivity rate, I think this is important, that is less than, so pre-Omicron, so let me back up a little. We started this process in May 2020 of testing people, and we go to end of November, pre-Omicron, we had a positivity rate of 0.34%. So that's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Mm-hmm. And particularly with the young population and the diversity of our population.
And then when the rest of the world was significantly higher. Another thing was, even when Omicron came, because we had already set the foundation, when the rest of the world was 25-30% positivity rate, we were less than 10%. Mm-hmm. And so our overall positivity rate is like 1%.
That's right.
So what we taught is that you can bring people back, you can be safe, you can vaccinate, you can open up your campus again. So we mandated vaccines. We were one of the first ones. Mm-hmm. We mandated getting boosters. And so that we could bring our community back, and so we can bring our learners back, we can bring our community back, we can be role models for the community. So I think that what we did is, as a team, we could overcome any kind of obstacle, which this pandemic probably is the biggest obstacle that anyone has ever faced at this point. Mm-hmm. And that we are able to go into the unknown and make it very systematized.
That's right. That's right.
And which is your word. That's your right. Systematized, so that we can show people the toolkit. This is how you do it. And this is how you can make our community safe. For our community, as in Morehouse School of Medicine.
Right.
But our community, as in Atlanta, and also Georgia, and also throughout the world.
So thank you, Dr. Nukas. So you all can see why I asked Dr. Nukas to really join us as our first guest on this podcast, because it really does connect with the theme for the month of Women's History, and that is women providing healing and promoting hope. And I would say, Dr. Nukas, your efforts during the pandemic and over the last 2 years certainly epitomizes that theme. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation. And I must say, we have a great leader and role model, and that expresses you because you epitomize great leaders for women and in the healthcare world.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
So each month, we're going to close our Danforth Dialogues podcast with three final thoughts that we hope will be of benefit to you. Today, the first thought is, in the midst of crisis, leaders step up and not back. Let me say that again. Leaders step up and not back. It is a difficult decision. All of us were faced with it, whether we should reopen the medical school or reopen our business in the face of a devastating disease that we really didn't understand at that time. And none of us would have believed would have killed 1 million people in this country. Believe me, I worried every day that our decision would spread this deadly virus throughout the school, getting students and staff sick or even worse, causing death. But I am a scientist, and I don't work in a vacuum. And I had other scientists and leaders like Dr. Nichols and other infectious disease experts who were guiding us to make the difficult decisions, because we understood that we couldn't educate and train this next generation via Zoom. And we were not willing to lose our personal touch as we do our good work. The second thought is, in the midst of crisis, leaders respond and not react. So you heard Dr. Nichols talk about us responding. And we weren't just responding for the selfishness of Morehouse School of Medicine, but we were taking our vision of leading the creation and advancement of health equity seriously. And in doing so, we knew that we needed to be that anchor, not just for Morehouse School of Medicine, but that anchor for the Atlanta University Center, that anchor for the communities that are underserved and undervoiced, that anchor for the state of Georgia, and what has turned out to be an anchor and a model for many in this country who understand that we must lead in a way that is responsive to the times. And sometimes you have to create your own innovative strategies. I always think about someone tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, Tag, you're it, okay? We were the ones that we had been waiting for. There was nobody else. We had to do it. And then the final thought, guys, is in the midst of crisis, leaders look to learn, not just mitigate. And oh my goodness, we learned so much. And while we looked at this as disease prevention and a mitigation protocol, as a learning experience for our students, our faculty, our clinicians, our researchers, and our staff, as we tracked data and did the internal study results, much has been published already. And so we learned in our traditional ways. But now what we're doing, guys, is we're thinking about the next pandemic. And how do we use these learnings to prevent, not just mitigate, but to prevent that next pandemic and to ensure that the communities that we serve are prepared and that when there will be a need for resources, that we would have told this story of what happened during COVID-19. That health disparities didn't just come up through COVID-19. Health disparities and health inequities have been a chronic challenge in this country. And that in order for us to mitigate them, in order for us to eliminate them and achieve health equity, we really do have to be responsive and learn from our experiences in order to be able to give the communities what they need when they need it, and the amount they need, so that all of us can reach our optimal level of health. These are our final thoughts for the inaugural edition of the Danforth Dialogues. We hope that you found our podcast of value. As I mentioned at the opening of the podcast, we will occasionally throw in a conversation of significance with a key leader. I am pleased to announce that the next one that we have will be a conversation of significance with Goldman Sachs CEO David M. Solomon. We know that you will find that conversation significant, and its interest will be broad to many. So please join us. And in the meantime, we wish you good health and great success in all that you do.
This has been a presentation of Danforth Dialogues with Morehouse School of Medicine President and CEO Dr. Valerie Montgomery Rice. We hope you enjoyed the show. For more information, please contact us at danforthdialogues@msm.edu.